This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting Reboot. We're here on Pet Life Radio. I am your host, Rita Reimers. I'm a certified cat behavior trainer. I'm here today with Dr. Rachel Geller, and I love when she comes on our show. We're going to talk about some interesting topics today, but first, let's go to a little commercial break. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting again. And we're on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Rita Reimers, and we're here with Dr. Rachel Geller. We're going to talk about a host of things today, but I think the main topic we're going to talk about is cats and babies. Is that right, Rachel?
That sounds right. That's been on my mind lately because I just won, yay, an award through the Cat Writers Association for my video.
Oh, awesome.
The topic, your cat and your new baby. So I think it's a timely topic for me, as well as the fact that it will be out there on the internet for people to view.
I love that. We get some clients calling us because their cat has a behavior issue already, and then they'll go, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. So it's nice to know more people are realizing just because you have babies or have kids, you don't have to give a cat. That's such a myth.
You do not. There are so many things that you can do to keep your cat, and not only keep your cat, but prepare your cat ahead of time. Let your cat know something is going to be changing. You know, you've known about this baby probably for a few months or so, but from your cat's perspective, suddenly in one day, her whole world is turned completely upside down. So I really focus on helping people do things to help prepare before the baby comes, as well as techniques while the baby is there.
I so agree with that. I think sometimes, though, some cats can sense the hormonal changes when you get pregnant. Isn't that true?
It is very true. You know, unlike you or I, you know, if somebody's having a stressful day or somebody's excited, I can't smell their hormones or their adrenaline. But our cats can. So they do know when there are changes about. They know when we are upset. They know when there are changes in our physical bodies, but still, even with all of that amazing perception, they really are not anticipating a whole other living being entering the household. Poof, you know, one day there's not a baby and the next day there is.
There's a baby.
Think about what a gigantic change that is from the perspective of the cat. It's pretty major. And so many people think that the cat is aggressive. The cat is jealous. But the truth is, the cat is really just a little confused and needs some help figuring it all out.
Cats don't like change anyway. But there's so many myths around having cats around babies specifically. And a lot of older folks from older generations still believe those myths and sometimes try to pressure their kids who are having a baby not to keep their cat. How can we address those questions?
I think the first thing that we want to do is to make that transition as easy as possible. And let's get those family members involved. So, you know, what do I mean by making that transition easy? Think about all of the changes. Like you just said, change is so stressful for a cat. So what can we do to make those changes easier for the cat? And how can we get these other family members involved? Well, one very easy thing to do is to sprinkle baby powder or baby oil or any of the lotions that you're going to be using on your skin, on the baby's skin. Sprinkle that on your skin now before the baby arrives.
That's a great idea.
So your cat can become familiar with these new smells, but in a very non-threatening way. The other thing you can do, and again, this is pretty easy and you're probably going to want to do it anyway, is set up the baby's room, the physical space of the room in your home where he's going to be when that baby arrives. And include, you know, the cribs, the strollers, the baby swings, the changing table. And let your cat go into this room. Let your cat investigate, smell, and let your cat scent deposit on these items. These little simple things, these tiny shifts, are ways that your cat can, on his own, take control of the situation, investigate, and gather information on his own, rather than having it forced upon him once the baby arrives. The more the cat feels in control of the situation, the better things are going to be. And by the way, this works great on my husband too. The other thing that you can do is make sure you have a cozy and inviting room for your cat that has some vertical space in it that is strictly off limits to unknown visitors, to the baby, you know, to anybody who might be coming over to the home that the baby does not, that the cat does not know. So make sure that a cat has like one special secure place that the baby can't get to, visitors who the baby may not, who the cat may not know very well can't get to, and so forth. And make sure there's cat beds, there are fleece blankets, a cat tunnel, a cat cube. Make good use of all of those Amazon boxes and put one on the side and line it with a towel. You know, all kinds of cozy places for your cat to escape to. There's off limits. One section of the home, one small closet, one room is strictly off limits to the baby and to the unknown visitors. This will really go a long way to help your cat have a little secure spot where she can escape to. Vertical space is really important. A lot of people will buy cat trees, but you know, if you're a little cramped for space now that you have this baby and all this other bad baby paraphernalia, you can repurpose what you already have. I'm sure you have a bureau. Look around. Chances are you have some shelving that's going unused. All of these places can be repurposed as vertical space. Place a soft, cozy quilt, a soft towel, a soft blanket. Anything like this turns vertical space into now a cozy napping spot for your cat. And I think the last thing you really want to do is create a schedule. Cats like predictability. Cats like to know when things are going to happen. So, and you've probably had a schedule before this baby is coming. So we want to continue with that schedule. Schedule your cat's feeding time. Schedule your cat's play time. Even schedule your cat's petting time. Make sure this is in place when the baby comes home. Now, having it in writing will be helpful for you. It'll remind you to make sure you have that one-on-one time with your cat. And having it easily visible will remind other family members as well that your cat needs that one-on-one time. Your cat still needs that predictable schedule so she feels safe and secure and won't be freaking out with all of these changes.
Definitely. Yeah, your cat needs a safe space to go and get away from everything, whether you have a baby or not. And we always tell people, just like you said, to get the cat acclimated to all the things and even to the baby's room, like take him in there so he doesn't feel like he's been shut out of that space. And when the baby comes, you can even put up like a temporary screen so the cat can see in. You can hear the baby, but he won't be bothered by the baby.
Yes. And if you have a cat who is bothered by noise, you know, we were just talking offline about cats who are scared of vacuum cleaners or scared of intermittent noise. One thing you can do as well before the baby comes is use your iPhone or, you know, whatever smartphone or device you have and create an audio recording of a baby crying. It can be any baby or, you know, when your baby comes, you can use that too. But create an audio file of a baby crying and start off at a volume that's soft enough that the cat might orient to the noise, but isn't afraid of the noise. So she'll look to the noise. She's not running away. That's our starting point. And each day, you know, build up the volume and how long you play it bit by bit. So first we'll start at that beginning where it's not too loud. She's just interested in it, doesn't freak her out. And then the next day, maybe we elevate the volume a little bit. Play it a little longer. The next day, we elevate the volume even a little more, play it even a little bit longer. And this way, we can desensitize the cat to the idea of the sound of crying. And when we desensitize a cat to anything, that's kind of like a big fancy word that means the cat gets used to it. So when she hears the same noise every day and nothing happens, the sky's not falling down, the world's not coming apart, she realizes, like, okay, that noise is okay. And that's a really super way to get a cat used to those intermittent, you know, cries and screams that she might be hearing from the baby.
That's definitely something I suggest as well. I also suggest when you first start doing that, you know, praise your cat and say some word association like, oh, is that the baby? Praise your cat, give a treat. So maybe he starts associating a treat and praise with hearing the baby cry. What do you think about that idea?
I love it. I think anything positive, anything the cat finds pleasurable, your voice in a soothing tone, your voice in a loving tone, treats, praise, affection, brushing, catnip, you know, whatever your cat loves. Anytime you can create a positive association between what is going on with the baby and your cat, you know, that's terrific. I mean, our goal is for your cat to say, now that I think about it, whenever that baby is around, I'm getting some pretty delicious treats. Maybe that baby's not so bad after all. There's all kinds of ways we can create these new positive associations between the cat and the baby. So the baby absolutely does not need to be viewed as a negative addition to the home.
Yeah, definitely. So how would you suggest, I know there's so much more we can talk about here, how would you suggest we make the future grandparents more at ease about having the cat run baby?
I think, you know, somebody in the home needs to take the lead. So whether it's mom or dad, big sis, big brother, if there's somebody in the home that has a particularly great relationship already with the cat, that might be the person who is going to want to sort of rope in grandma and the grandfather. And one thing I really suggest, I think is a very powerful tool for bonding, is interactive play with a wand toy or a fishing pole toy. And what I usually say is, whoever this family member is, the one that tended to play with the cat the most, let that person conduct a play session with the wand toy, making sure the cat's getting all kinds of fun captures. We're really simulating a hunt. We're really simulating prey. Sometimes the prey is up. Sometimes the prey is down. Hiding, scurrying. You know, we're really making the game fun. And then we're ending the game with letting the cat get that final capture and then eat something at the end. He captures the prey, and now he gets a little bit of a treat or food. And maybe the first couple times we have these sessions, the grandparents just sit somewhere in the room and kind of watch what's going on. But then, I'd like the grandparents to graduate, the standing next to the family member who is conducting the sessions, and have the family member now conduct the sessions with the grandparents right there. And then when that's going okay, let the grandparent hold the wand toy, conduct the session, but let the family member still be there for familiarity. And eventually, what we love is for the grandparents to conduct the sessions all by themselves. Nobody else needs to be around to help. They're going to simulate the hunt, trigger the prey drive, carry that cat through the hunting sequence, all kinds of multiple captures, all kinds of scurrying about. That sometimes the prey is playing dead, sometimes it's popping up and running away from the cat. Eventually the prey gets tired, winds down, losing energy, getting injured. The cat captures the prey. The grandparents still have the treat. The cat is feeling so happy and proud and content. I'm master of my kingdom. I'm the queen of my territory. I'm the ruler of my home. I'm the grand conqueror. All these feel-good chemicals are whizzing through my brain. I'm such a great hunter. And all through this, the grandparents are at the helm. So what a great way to just create all kinds of positive associations.
I love that. Because this way you're getting the grandparents to see the cat is not the creature that you think he is that's going to hurt the baby. You just need to learn how to play with the cat, learn the cat's habits. And also because grandma and grandpa are probably going to be at your home more often than they were, you're getting the cat acclimated to being around them as well.
It's going both ways. They're creating positive associations with each other. And so it's really a very powerful bonding tool. And cats, once they create a positive association, it really sticks. So it's really a great way to maintain a nice relationship between a cat and a human.
I love that. I know we got to take a break in a couple minutes, but I would love to talk a little bit about when you actually bring the baby home. So let me go ahead and take a break now, and we'll come back and get into that topic. We've got a lot more to cover. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back again with 19 Cats and Counting with the wonderful Dr. Rachel Geller. And we are talking about when you bring a baby home and you already have cats, how do you get them to get along? Now, one thing I like to recommend when somebody's bringing the baby home to actually meet the cat is maybe to bring something back from the hospital, maybe a receiving blanket or something that's been around the baby before you even bring the baby home. Cats are so scent oriented that they can start smelling the baby right away. What do you think about that idea?
Yes. I mean, scent swapping is such a great way to get cats to acclimate, you know, to if you're reintroducing or introducing cats or cats to other pets or cats to new babies. Cats recognize each other by scent, not by visual. So starting off with scent swapping is such a brilliant idea, a great way to do it. And again, it gives the cat a sense of control over the situation. The cat can investigate on her own time. The cat can investigate at her own pace. And all of these are really important to a cat. When a cat feels like something in her world is up for grabs or something in the world is being forced onto her, that creates stress. And as you mentioned right at the beginning of the show, cats do not react to stress well at all. So keeping the stress level low is really important. So yes, just as we talked about, you know, letting the cat investigate the baby's room, the baby's paraphernalia, the baby's clothing, the baby's diapers, the baby's wipes, towels, anything that has that scent on it is going to be really, really helpful to give to your cat and to let her investigate, scent deposit, learn about all in her own time. So yes, you know, when you bring the baby home, all of this stuff that you can provide for your cat is really important. Some people find that playing a radio softly or white noise can help your cat so she doesn't hear all of the exciting noise and all of the crying. So some people find that type of sort of background noise to be helpful to a cat as well. And then I would suggest to people, bring out some new toys, new things for your cat to do, new things to keep your cat busy. Cats benefit from using their bodies and their minds together, particularly in stressful situations. So a new puzzle feeder, a new toy, a tiny shift in the routine, maybe take a little bit of food, place it in bowls around your house so your cat has to go on a fun expedition. A hunt to find her food, or take some old small towels or blankets, put a little catnip on them, place them around your house with some toys on them. All of a sudden, there's a new area that's fun and exciting where she can play with her toys. Open up a closet door that you know is safe that she doesn't always get to explore. Think of tiny shifts in your day that can take, you know, a stressed cat into a cat that's now focused on investigating and figuring things out and having fun. Anytime a cat is focusing on something other than her own fear, this is going to be positive. And remember, anytime a cat plays and feels successful and feels like a conqueror is going to really boost her confidence. So I know we can't all be playing with a wand toy with our cat 24/7, especially if you just had a baby. But puzzle feeders will provide that same feeling for your cat. So with a puzzle feeder, the cat, again, has to use her mind and body together, figure out some sort of challenge or line something up in the exact proper way or roll a toy in a certain way. She has to figure out some sort of puzzle, and when she figures that out, food is doled out. Now we have the food, which is reminiscent of capturing the prey, which the cat can now eat. And here we are once again tapping into our cat's natural hunt, eat, contentment, hunt, eat, sleep cycle, which is what we want. So there's all kinds of little things that we can do when that baby arrives home to make sure the cat feels secure, busy, challenged, and all of these things relieve stress, relieve tension, while providing very, you know, important stimulation for a cat. But, you know, you always want to be aware of your own body language, your own body signals. I see some people who are wondering why their cat is afraid, and then I see that they seem a little fearful about the cat getting too close to the baby, or the cat might be hurting the baby, or their language or their tone might be creating anxiety in the baby. So, or maybe they've shooed the cat off the couch, something like that. So be very aware of your own body language, your own tone when you're speaking to your cat, and really work on using your voice in a soothing tone, not pushing your cat away. You don't want your cat to be afraid of the baby. You don't want your cat to have negative experiences because then the cat will blame the baby. So be really aware of your own, you know, inadvertent body mannerisms.
Sure. And as the baby grows up, you definitely want the baby to feel comfortable around the cat as well. We've talked about how routines are important to cats. They definitely are. But, you know, when you bring that baby home, your own routine is going to change for a while. You're going to have those midnight feedings. I always suggest that you try not to feed your cat while you're feeding the baby at night, because then when the baby sleeps through the night, your cat's going to be nagging you. Where's that 12 a.m. feeding, right?
That's a habit we don't want to get into, right? So yes, of course, no doubt your life is going to be hectic, you know, for a little while, but there's no reason that without some kind of pretty minor modifications and accommodations, your new, larger family can all be very happy together.
Another question I get a lot is, I think we touched on it for a second, at what age is it safe to put the baby and the cat on the floor at the same time?
You know, I always tell people, supervise, supervise, supervise. And, you know, every cat is different. Every baby is different. So, you know, we don't want the first time, you know, to have your baby and the cat together and then you walk off. So observe, supervise, see how they're doing. And, you know, when things seem to be going okay, you can always leave for 10 minutes, leave for 5 minutes, come back and check. It's also very, you know, individual. There are some cats that from day one will crawl into a crib and sleep with the baby and everything's fine. And other cats are a little more wary and other babies a little more wary. But, you know, observe what's going on in your particular household. But the best rule is, never go from, you know, 0 to 60. Even if something seems like it's going okay, try it first, like for 5 or 10 minutes. Then the next day, maybe try it for 15 minutes. You know, let both the cat and the baby sort of have an easy transition into being together.
Small steps.
Small steps.
Talking about the baby, yes, in the crib, that's where a lot of myths come in, that the cat's going to smother the baby or smell the milk on the breath. That's just totally not true.
That is so not true. I wish I knew where that came from, because it doesn't seem like it makes any sense to me. But regardless, you know, go slowly. Just always think gradual, incremental, a little bit at a time. And as in anything, you know, if you present something to anybody a little bit at a time, you know, people will get used to that idea. Most cats naturally want to cuddle with babies, just like they want to cuddle with us. They want to be close. They want to be part of the family. And babies instinctively like cuddly, cute things. So it's a perfect marriage when you think about it, but you need to supervise. You need to make sure everything's okay. And, you know, you wouldn't leave your baby alone with almost anybody anyway. So kind of common sense, and just make sure you follow those same rules with your cat and your baby.
Yeah, baby crying can sound a lot like kitten crying. I've seen videos with cats reacting to the baby cry, wanting to stop the baby from crying and comfort the baby. They're so sweet.
Yes, and I've seen kittens want to suckle on the baby's blanket, because it's reminiscent of those smells and that age. So, you know, sometimes we're not so different. And
it's true.
Yeah, it's kind of cute.
Where can people go to see your award-winning video? Is it on your website or YouTube?
Yeah, so my award-winning video, it's on my YouTube page. And it's also on my website. And it's called Your Cat and Your New Baby. And if someone has trouble finding it, they can always email me through my website, drrachelcatbehavior.com.
I love that. Any last words of wisdom about that before we talk a little bit about your upcoming book?
Of course, I always have a word of wisdom, Rita. What kind of question is that anyway? I would just say, in general, when you're trying to get your cat, you know, used to your new baby, facilitate interactions that seem to come naturally, but don't push anything. You know, so you don't have to carry your cat into the baby's room. You don't have to carry the cat over to the baby. Conversely, if the cat seems interested, let the cat go, supervise, reward with a treat for good behavior. So when you see naturally occurring interactions, facilitate those and reward those, but don't force any interactions.
Oh, definitely. And that nothing can stress a cat out more than you force them to do what they're not ready to do.
Oh, yes. In these matters, we always have to go with the cat's pace.
Definitely. So I know you're writing a book. I don't know if you're ready to talk about it yet, but I am so looking forward to it coming out. What can you tell us about it, when it might be coming out, and what is it about?
Well, I might even have like a mock-up of the cover. I do. So it should be coming out maybe... And
All Cats All the Time. Is that the name of your 501c3, right?
It's the name of my nonprofit, All Cats All the Time. More of What I Know About Cats.
I love it. I'm going to read that.
And you can see it's a pretty thin book. So I'm hoping this, I'm on my third round of edits and read-throughs now. I think this is going to be the last set. So I think I'm getting very close. I'm hoping maybe by the end of the year, we're signed, sealed, and delivered. I still need a cover. I still need some pictures, but we're getting there. I think one of the limitations of my first book was it was kind of like an overview, more of a lighthearted look at cat behavior and an overview of how you can solve basic cat behavior problems. But it wasn't like a full-out, step-by-step mm-hmm. manual to solve cat behavior problems. And that's more what this is going to be.
That's
so awesome. It's been a lot of work, but I think it's coming along and I am really, really excited about it.
Well, I give you a lot of credit. I mentioned I've been trying to write a cat behavior book for 15 years. It's a very hard thing to do.
It is.
To put everything in your head down on paper in a cohesive way is not an easy thing. I hope it comes out by the end of the year in time for Christmas. That would be wonderful.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. And you're right about like everything coming out of your head. I mean, just paper everywhere, piles, and, you know, it's so hard. But then, you know, you kind of bring it all in and get it together. So hopefully it'll all be worth it. And hopefully, I mean, my main goal, as you know, is to help people keep their cats in their home. So if people read the book and it helps them to solve a cat behavior problem and, oh, okay, I can follow this book, you know, this process, A, B, C, D, and now I can keep my cat. That would make my heart happy.
I love that. Hopefully you can come back on when it's going to be published and we can talk a little bit more about the detail and the contents of the book. I'm looking forward to reading it. Thank you so much for coming back on 19 Cats and Counting. I really appreciate it.
It's been a delightful experience. Thanks.
Thank you. And of course, we want to thank Mark Winter for giving me this awesome spot on Pet Life Radio. And don't forget, until next time, every day is Catterday, not just Saturday. We'll see you next time. Take care, everyone.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.